Thank you. Please remain standing. So tonight, one of the most of our best parts of the meeting is we have our youth get involved and lead us in the flag salute. So tonight, we're going to be led by Jake Anderson. So Jake is 9 years old and a fourth grade student at Fairgrove Elementary School. He likes math, physical education, library, English language arts, and the benchmark program. He says that he likes living on the Central Coast because he enjoys going to the beach, playing in the water, and feeling the warm sun on his body. And after college, Jake would like to pursue extraterrestrial science and working with NASA. His hobbies are skateboarding, riding bikes, outdoor games such as tag and rugby. He is accompanied this evening by, I don't know if we saw the principal, his teacher, Mrs. O'Loughlin, and his family, mom, dad, and sister. And as I understand, Jake has led us in the flag salute when he was in preschool. So he is a seasoned vet. Thank you for coming back again. All right. So everyone, Jake, when you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very well done. Why don't you come up here, young man? Let me give you a certificate for you. Yeah. So this young man is going to take our picture. So that's for you. That's for you as well. If you take everyone's hand, okay?
Well done, Jake.
Nice to meet you.
You look swell. Thank you so much. Good job.
Okay. Thank you, Jake, and keep up the good work. Mom and Dad and everyone, have a good evening. So, Donna, when you're ready, we'll have a roll call.
Here. Here.
Here. Here. Thank you, Donna. Can you hear me on this? We good? Okay. We are now going to go into our closed session announcements. City Attorney, can you cover those, please?
Certainly. Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, at the last Council meeting, Council met in closed session on one item, and that was existing litigation, Santa Maria Valley water litigation. After coming back into open session, it was reported that there were no report of actions taken by the Council.
Very good. Thank you. So let's move into our agenda review. This is the time when the council reviews the agenda as presented by staff and decides if we want to make any changes to the agenda. Do any members of the council want to change the order of the agenda? Okay, seeing none, I'll accept the motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. So we're going to move on to our ceremonial calendar this evening. If you are following along with the agenda, there are extras on the table. This is a mayor's commendation for firefighter Chris Martinez, Five Cities Fire Authority. And I believe Chief Lieberman is here to receive this. And I'll just read this really quickly. This is a mayor's commendation presented to Christopher Martinez, Five Cities Fire Authority. It says, in recognition of your participation and successful completion of the Huntington Beach Surf City Marathon on February 1st, 2015, while wearing 50 pounds of structural firefighting gear as a fundraising effort for two local boys who continue to fight their battle against cancer. So, Chief?
Mayor and Council, thank you so much for this accommodation. As luck would have it, Christopher Martinez was one of our reserve firefighters. Reserves are with us. We have one of our newbies here, I see, in the back of the room. Our reserve firefighters come to us typically from the Fire Academy. They're with us for 1 to 2 years. They attain their Firefighter 1 certification, and unfortunately, they test and interview and oftentimes leave us for full-time positions in larger agencies. Today, unfortunately for Mr. Martinez, is his first day with another fire department as a full-time firefighter trainee. So we applaud him. I do want to ask Acting Battalion Chief Stefan and Battalion Chief Heath to come up here with me. And I didn't tell them this, by the way. And also the crew from Station 2 here in Grover Beach is with us as well. Just see if they want to add any words. But, I mean, I was with Christopher. I rode my bike next to him for the first 16 miles. And what that man went through, you can't even fathom. 50 pounds of equipment dry before you start perspiring.
Wow.
He kept his thermal barrier to protect him from heat in, which kept all the heat inside of his equipment. So when I saw him at about mile 4, he was already struggling. But, I mean, the tenacity of this gentleman, and to put others ahead of himself, even at the risk of his health, was a noble cause. These two little boys he didn't know, met them. They're both Rio Grande residents, decided to raise $10,000, started up a fundraising site. A Los Angeles news story got wind of what he was going to do the Friday before the race. And I believe, with that added exposure, because you can see the Facebook posts and all the women that stopped him along the way for selfies, he ended up raising $20,000 for these kids and their families.
Fantastic.
So, gentlemen, do you have anything to add?
Good evening, Rick. He flies his fire board. Sorry, that's a habit. the thing that I wanted to add about Chris Martinez is, if he was here, he would tell you that it wasn't about what he did. It was about the whole meaning of working as a team. Chris is a very humble individual who doesn't like to be looked at as, hey, you did a great job. You know, he doesn't like that kind of limelight. But at the same time, he is a strong individual that would go the extra mile for just about anybody. Just wanted to share that.
Excellent.
Okay, and to finish up with that, I'm Randy Steffen, with the same company these gentlemen are from. I was fortunate enough to be on the interview panel when we were going through new hire interviews. And one of our questions for the candidates is we give them a paperclip and we ask them how many uses can they figure out for this paperclip. It's kind of a nifty little tension breaker. And we physically had to tell Chris to stop because he would have gone on for a couple hours with different ways, things you could use a paperclip for. And that's the type of person he is. He was a very good person to have on board. We enjoyed his time while he was with us, even though it was short. But we're very happy that he found a career position with another city. So thank you.
Thank you. And let me hand you this. And I would just say I know that he was very successful and for the noble cause, but I also think that with this great team that he had of supporters, that was really important that did our community crowd too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's move on to public communications. Any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item within the interest of this jurisdiction. Council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, we cannot take action on any items that are not on the agenda. So this is an opportunity for you to speak to us on anything within the jurisdiction of this council, except for those items on the agenda. When those items come up, I'll give you an opportunity to speak then. Is there anyone that would like to address the council during public communications? Okay, going once, going twice. All right. I'm going to close public communications and bring it back to the council. We have no public hearing items tonight, so we are going to move into our consent agenda. And this is an agenda where we take routine items usually, and they are considered as a group. And we have three items on tonight's consent agenda. One is the Treasury Report for the period of February 10th through the 24th of 2015. The second is minutes of the City Council meeting of January 20, 2015. And then the third is the Grover Heights Park Restroom Construction Project, the Award of Construction Contract and Budget Amendment. Do any members of the council want to pull any items from the consent agenda?
No.
So I think I'm going to request that we pull item 4 for some discussion. And we'll put that at the, if that's okay with everyone, we can move that to the end of the agenda. I don't have any speaker requests, one from the public, so someone prepared to make a motion on items 2 and 3?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second, and actually looks like on this we can do a voice vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. And then we'll pick up item 4 later on the agenda. So now let's move into our regular business tonight. This is item number 5. This is a discussion regarding future operation and maintenance of Parking Assessment District at the Ramona Business Square. And this is Interim Police Chief Copsey.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. What you have before you tonight has come to the council a few times, more than a few times over the past 40 years. But it's changed, and we'll cover some of that. So with a few new council members, we're going to cover some of the history a little bit again. Basically, this is the Ramona Business Square that's behind the post office between Grand and Ramona. You have up on the board, on the wall, a map of generally the two districts that are covered in this previous parking assessment district areas. There was originally District 1, this lower portion here on the wall, which is the southern portion of the parking lot. And then you have the northern portion, which is called District 2. So this is Ramona Street at the top of the map, and Grand Avenue at the bottom of the map, and 9th and 10th covers that. Parking District 1 was formed by ordinance back in 1976. The parcels were levied about $24,000 to be paid back to the city over 15 years. They were also assessed 3 cents on $100 of assessed valuation. Easements were created, and you have copies of those easements in your packet. They were obtained in 1976 by an ordinance, and the city owns a portion of District, the current District 1 back then, which is in between really District 1 and District 2. So it's actually the northern portion here. City owns these two. This lots 13 and 14. You've got a lot map in your packet. And then actually a little portion this here of lots 15 and 16. So they own the middle portion, and that deed is also in your packet. It shows that the city owns that middle portion. Parking District 2, the northern portion of the parking lot, was formed in 1980. The parcels at that time were levied $15,000 to be paid back in the following 15 years. They were also assessed at that time 3 cents on the $100 of assessed valuation. At this point, at that time, no easements were necessary because it was owned by private property. The city was not involved in that ownership. The city adopted a resolution providing $15,000 to construct the parking lot. Actual costs were $50,000. The city ended up putting in a larger portion than what was levied. From city records, and we're missing or can't find some, or they're gone or whatever. We can't find a reason why the actual assessments were stopped. The assessments were stopped and ended in 1997. Was the last year that we could find any dollars were collected. It was about 15 and a half years after the second district was formed. So staff kind of feels that maybe after the 15-year payback period was done, the assessment stopped, and nothing's been done with the parking lot since then. So we don't have an exact date when District 1 assessments ended, but District 2 assessments ended in 1997. Staff's opinion is that the city can no longer has any standing in controlling the existing parking districts, and if the city was to continue with any kind of parking assessment districts, that new districts and district needs would need to be reformed in order to move forward. City Council, in your packet, there's some minutes from previous meetings from 1997. I'll just summarize some of those because there's quite a bit in there. At that point, Mr. Ford, who was one of the majority property owners of District 2, was discussing his project when it was created, the Ramona Business Square, and the need to form a parking assessment district and a waiver of the development impact fees. It was stated then by the council that the city did not have any plans to create a parking lot assessment district at that location, even though one had been previously created. So it's a little confusing from the minutes. It appears that the city council and Mr. Ford were unclear at the time regarding what parking district 2 was. And at the 1997 meeting, Mr. Ford stated it would cost then about $35,000 to construct the parking lot. Now, the final decision was to have Mr. Ford work with staff to create a development agreement, but that city funds could not be used to benefit a private development. There was nothing further found regarding the documentation of ever forming that development agreement. So that brings us up to nothing was done really since then. There was probably some discussions, I'm sure, probably by Mr. Ford and staff, but nothing was ever really brought forward to council until last year. So we've had a few discussions last year, but currently I've spoken with, I think, all but one of the property owners. And most of the property owners seem to be interested in reforming a parking district, albeit a few of them don't, and establishing a cost for both maintenance and reconstruction of the lots. But the caveat was it depended really on what those costs would be, the yearly costs and what the assessment values would be. At the time when I spoke with them, I got a, and you have in your packet, an estimate of their construction costs, and it, you know, we put a range in there. I got those from our city engineer, Greg Ray, of what reconstruction repair costs would be for both lots, and then for just a single, if we ended up just doing one of the district lots, District 1. I tried to, in my own way, come up with, if the city was to fund this project and reconstruct a lot and place an assessment on all the properties based on a property value assessment, so the assessed value of the properties, I came up with a dollar figure that was, depending on the property and the assessed value of the property, between $1,500 and $25,000 a year. So with that, I was able to at least get a ballpark, and I explained it was a very rough ballpark figure for the property owners, should this ever move forward, on what their annual expected assessment would be. So some property owners would be, say, $2,500 a year, and some would be quite expensive. Should the council wish to establish a new assessment district, we would need to go through an assessment district process as outlined in the Parking and Business Improvement Area Law, which is included in your packet. And in your staff report, it kind of explains some of the processes about establishing the procedures for that. Staff feels that a consultant would need to be hired to obtain specific reconstruction and repair costs, as well as, probably the most important, the projected benefits and assessed values of how that benefit would be calculated or levied against the property owners that are affected by that parking lot. So the cost of the potential participating property owners would need to be established for council's determination. It's really set by council, but you would need that information to be able to establish what a fair and equitable assessed levy would be for the property owners, including the city, because the city owns a portion of the parking lot. So the city would also be paying a fee, an assessed valuation fee for our portion of the parking area. The fiscal impact is expected to be between $20,000 maybe and $50,000 for that consultant. We would have to, the reason it's a ballpark is because we have not gone out for a proposal, a request for proposal, information on that. We don't know exactly what that would be. Staff would need to develop an RFP and solicit bids and then come back to council for approval. At this point, no funds have been collected from the assessments, as that stopped in 1997, to cover costs associated with any type of consultant or fees with that. from past assessments, nor has the city budgeted anything for that. Assessments levied on businesses must be levied on the basis of estimated benefit to the businesses and the property within the parking and business improvement area. So, for example, some of the properties that adjoin in that lot 74 are private residential homes. They're on this east end, of the block 74 here. These two are private residences. So most likely they may or may not be included in the benefit for the public parking area. But they may if they use that. That's going to be hopefully determined by the consultant. So the benefit will need to be determined. City Council may classify businesses for purposes of determining the benefit to a business of the improvements and activities provided. So the council, I'm assuming, and I'm not a assessment expert by no means, could make a determination that maybe one of the businesses or the properties, a number of the businesses, shall not be considered in the property assessments. And they would have to articulate a reason for that, such as the home, for example, a resident that doesn't use the parking may not need to be part of the assessment. So there's several different ways that the council can, through the consultant, can assess the properties. Can be done by parcel valuation. Each lot will be assessed per 100,000 valuation of property per year. So as a property's value is based on that. It can be split equally by parcel lot. It can be assessed by square footage of the business, you know, footprint. It can be assessed based on how much parking area that the business actually owns. There's a number of different ways that the assessment valuation can be levied against the property owners, which will need to be determined by council. So now what do we do? So with that information, there's a number of options that the city council can look at. At this point, you know, they're difficult decisions. Do we get, you know, I guess one option would be do nothing. We continue as we are. We've been working. It's been working. It's a parking lot. Albeit needs an enormous amount of repairs. We do not get into, the city does not get into the assessment district business, back into it. They can choose to encourage the property owners to repair their own portions of the parking lot or start their own parking improvement district, which the city would be a part of. So it's not really run by the city, but it could be their own PID. The city could choose to move forward and establish a new district. They could establish a district 1 and 2 or take it as one whole district based on the council's decisions. They can decide to establish how to break those costs down based on the benefit to the property owners. If the council decides to move forward, that will eventually have to be part of the decision process. How to come up with funding for a consultant. Should it be done now with reserves, possibly, maybe some other street funds, or maybe look at it as recommended. We'll cover that in the FY16 budget process. And then eventually the city will have to fund our portions, of course, of the repairs and how we fund that in the parking lot. The fiscal impact will depend on City Council's decision and action tonight. There's no fiscal impact if the council decides to take no action. If action or direction is given to move forward with any type of process, the costs associated with that process will have to be figured out. If it's just costs associated with engineering study, we would have the costs, you know, could be up to between $20,000 and $50,000. And ultimately, if the council could use reserve funds, I guess, to fund the whole process. And that cost will be up to $350 or more, depending on where that is. The other aspect that I want to mention, if the city does get involved with the process of reconstruction in the assessment valuation and the process of reconstructing the parking lots, it would need to be done at prevailing wages. So the cost for that could be higher. Or would be higher than if the property owners formed their own property improvement district, did it themselves. There's different options that they could do within that parking lot versus how the city would have to do it. So the cost could be considerably less, minimal less. That would all have to be determined by an actual engineering study. At this point, staff is recommending that the City Council take no action at this time. The Council, because there's nothing has been planned or budgeted in this budget fiscal year. If the Council desires to move forward with funding a consultant, staff recommends wait until the budget process for FY16 and possibly funds can be identified through a CIP project or through, that for next fiscal year, if we could find funds for that. And it is unknown, but I think that cost for the consulting services may be recouped in an assessment if it moves forward and that assessment is final. Is that the city attorney? If it's moved forward and there actually is an assessment district established, the cost could be recouped within that assessment district over time. If one does not move forward, then those costs will be borne by the city. It should also be noted that a majority, if the council does move forward with an assessment district, it still has to be supported by a majority of the property owners. We can't just impose it without their support. So it kind of does come then back to the property owners to exactly what they want to do with the parking district. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Mayor, if I may just dovetail on what the chief presented.
Okay. Hang on a sec. Are you done? Okay. City attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, council member, just a couple of points that I wanted to make sure were clear. The council does not have an unfettered discretion with regard to including or excluding properties or types of businesses from being assessed or not. One of the reasons for an engineering report is to establish a method that is supportable on which the assessment is based, and the engineer may give you a couple of options from which to pick, but again, and I don't think that's what the chief meant, but I just wanted to make sure that it comes across clearly that ultimately if the council wishes to move forward with seeing an engineer's report on how and how much a district could be established in that area, reliance on that report would be crucial in order for the assessment to be supportable and be to a maximum extent impervious to any challenges.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions of staff? Mayor Pro Tem, do you have any questions?
Just two quick questions, and thanks, Chief, for that staff report. And you may have, in some of our prior discussions on this, this may have been addressed. So two questions. One is, why does the city own a portion of the parking lot back there? Did that have something to do with the post office? I forget what the reasoning behind that was.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Other than we have the deed, and that's all we can find as far as our ownership and why we have that.
Okay, great. Second question is, how many owners are back there? I know Mr. Ford owns a number of properties, but is it 4 or 20?
I would say there's like 12 different owners.
12 different
individual owners. On both districts.
Including both districts, and that includes the city?
Correct.
Okay, great. That's all I have for the moment.
Good. Thanks for taking one of my questions. Councilmember Nichols, do you have any questions?
Only a comment that it seems that, to me personally, that the post office should especially bear a share in the repair and or maintenance because of those big trucks running through there constantly, which probably has created a lot of the damage.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, the post office is a leasor of the property. So it's not actually the U.S. Post Office that would have a control over the property or payments of any type of assessment. It would be the property owner.
Okay.
Questions to my left? Councilmember Bright?
How are other parking lots maintained in our city?
All by the private owners of the parking lots. For example, Vons or Grover City Plaza, those are all the private owners who maintain and take care of their own parking lots.
So if they had a parking assessment district, we wouldn't know that, or would we?
We do not have any interest or any part of any parking properties, any assessments within the city.
So then the reason that we're discussing this is because the city owns a part of this lot?
Well, I'm assuming we're discussing this. This was brought forward by Mr. Ford, but this was established years ago. The city took on the task of making it a parking assessment district.
But we don't know why.
I'm assuming for the benefit of the community. I don't
okay.
have the minutes or anything from that, but it was created, so that's why we're discussing it today, because it fell through. It was never really taken apart from assessment district.
But would the city take on a parking assessment district? I guess it's hypothetical, but if it were a parking lot that the city didn't have any interest in?
They could, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they could,
done.
Like, facilitate the whole thing?
It can be done.
Okay. Thank
Typically,
you.
Typically, those are done when the development properties are created. They create parking lamp and lighting districts or mm-hmm. districts when the property itself is created, not typically after the fact.
Thank you.
But it can be done.
Councilmember Shaw?
Just a quick question about the history. I remember reading through here. So back when this happened, I read about the impact fees. Do we know if those impact fees were waived at that time? Or?
To my knowledge, from what the information I have, it's not very clear as far as, you mean in 1997 for
yeah.
the Ford properties?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's here. He might be able to answer
okay.
that.
And then my other question was, in reading through this, even though we did do the parking assessment at that time, the city still did put in $50,000 at that time as
That's
well.
That's correct.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. My questions have, at least most, a lot of them have been asked and answered, and I see there are some of the owners here. So what I want to do is open this up to the public and hear from them, and then we'll have some discussion. So with that, I'm going to open this up to the public. Yeah. Who's first? Come on up, Brad.
Good evening. I'm Brad Ford. I've just kind of realized I've probably been here longer than most of the people here, so I probably have more history as to what's going on. To clarify some stuff, to the best of my knowledge, the reason that the original district was formed was there was a person that owned a portion in the middle of that whole area that was not cooperating with anybody. They wouldn't give any easements. It made it very difficult to even use the space. So basically this was formed to take him out of the equation and build it so it was a functional piece of property. That answers that. As far as this 1997, it isn't even relating to those parking lots. When I did the promenade on the south side of Grand, I had some, there were other property owners involved with the parking over there. I was trying to get a third parking assessment district so we could all work together on that. That never came to fruition. But that's what the intent with all that over there. So as far as the fees, those were paid, but it had nothing to do with the Ramona Square property at all. Just my ability to try to work with the neighbors to try to do something independently to put this together where we could avoid working through the city and doing this has just come into a brick wall every instance. There's just too many different people with too many different feelings about what they think they should do and how much they're really entitled to pay. And it really needs to be taken up to a bigger level where it can be enforced by you guys and then assessed properly. Because even if one person was to go in there to try to run this, when that person decided to not do it anymore, it would just be back to the same mess we're in now. The reason this was all done was to create something that could be in perpetuity, that would be handled, and the responsibility with the cities to be handled at that point. I just want to reiterate for people that are new to the council that the people there entrusted the city to take care of it and to do the assessments and everything. And it was the city that defaulted on, actually, they're supposed to file with the county for the assessments every year to get this paid, and that was not done, which caused this whole thing to happen in the first place. So we're just trying to, I would like to just see it get back to where it was before. As far as the status of the parking lot, it's bad. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to lease that place over there, but I'm getting a lot of feedback, and I'm just trying to circumvent a lot of issues with the problems over there. But I wouldn't be surprised if we started having issues with falls and stuff, because it's pretty bad. So it really needs to be addressed. My feeling is if the 3% per, I think it was $100, was three cents per 100 is just obviously doesn't fit the times, and that would have to be readdressed. And I'm fine with finding something equitable with all that there. So I'm probably one of the biggest property owners, so I think I carry a lot of the consensus of what should be handled there. And so, is there any questions?
Any questions of Mr. Ford?
One question, which I'm not sure if you can answer, but you did mention you had spoken to a lot of the property owners. Is the general feeling that they would want this, or are you kind of the only one who wants this?
I think they'd like to see it fixed. I think it's a money issue. Some people are more financially distressed. One of the people over there has their parents that are being taken care of and are burdened with a lot of costs, so it didn't really look very feasible at the time. But I think something has to be done. I just don't know. And I think I would like to develop more over there. I'd like to possibly put some other pieces I have together over there, create maybe more of a promenade-type thing on that side of the street. But until this parking is figured out, I just can't do anything over there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Brian.
Actually, I have one more question for Mr. Fogg.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Sorry, I apologize. So, I realize this is a complete conjecture question that I'm about to ask you, but if the city didn't own the property, which would kind of give the impetus for this district to be either established or recreated, what would an option be that you would consider?
I'm assuming there would have to be some contractual thing negotiated with all the tenants, and it just seems daunting to try to put it all together from everybody is in a different place and things are selling all the time and different owners come in. So it would be difficult. The last thing I was going to say, too, is when you do assess how much gets paid towards each property owner, I honestly think the square footage makes the most sense, because if you try to go after the post office for paying a bigger portion, if that tenant moves out, that's still going to be in effect, and it wouldn't be fair for the next tenant if they didn't use it as aggressively as the post office. So I think if you try to do it on an assessment basis, people that have recently bought new pieces of property over there are going to pay a substantially higher amount of money than they would if they had been there longer. So I think the square footage makes the most sense.
Okay. Oh, Barbara?
Do you have any conjecture about why the property owners did not raise any alarm whatsoever when the city failed to put the assessments on the county rolls?
If they didn't see that they had to pay the bill, I'd feel they probably didn't want to ask to pay it.
and that's why they waited until the thing is destroyed before complaints were made?
To the best of my knowledge, I don't know. I've been bringing this up for quite a while. So
right. I understand that. Okay, thank you.
We appreciate that.
Can I ask one more question? Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
So don't go anywhere.
Okay. You'll never want to come back. Sorry. No, I just want to know about ownership, how the ownership works. So does each owner own their portion of the parking lot, or how does that work?
I think it's just it's all in one, and anybody can park wherever they want in the parking lot, and it's not like these are my spaces or your spaces. It's pretty much a share between everybody.
Okay, so as far as the deeds go, okay. Oh, I see. So legally, each structure legally owns their certain spaces, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'd Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No, no, you're safe. You're safe. Next.
Sit down quick.
In 1956, we came here for business, and 4 years later, we bought the building. A lot of tall people. I have a son, excuse me, that arrived here this afternoon that I'd love to be visiting with, and the other people involved with this property, which we recently sold last year, are ill.
Oh.
So I don't sound so good myself, but it's not you guys that are doing it. What I can't understand is how we got into this mess in the first place. When we first started out, I think most of us were willing to give the property to the city. In fact, I thought that's what we had done. Mm-hmm. And the original speakers agreed on that. And we were the originals all along that street. Only one was the doctor building right behind us. The rest was empty. Except for a few houses over here. So it's very hard for me to understand how come it didn't evolve very well for this gentleman to be in the position he's in. It's really sad. If I wanted to cause trouble right now, if you read all this, you could give it back to me, my piece, and I could say you can't drive over it and you couldn't get in the parking lot. Now, would that be very nice? What would you pay me for that? You're talking about money. I want to see it done. I want to see it done reasonably for everyone involved. And I think it's possible. You're a very smart bunch, or I wouldn't have voted for you, okay? Now prove it, okay? Thank you.
Ron Arnoldson, I live at 754 Newport. I own part of the building with Brad Ford. It's 176. I own 174, 176 North 9th Street. He owns 180. This is the rest of the story. I'll give you the history because I'm the only one here that knows the history of District 2. I was there before Brad was. The property that Brad owns was owned by a guy named Phil Schaff. Phil Schaff developed Ramona Plaza. And you'll see in your notes that he came to the City Council and he did all the paperwork and all the footwork for Ramona Plaza. The buildings on both sides of Brad's building and my building were owned by, his name's in here, I can't think of it right now, but those two pieces of property were sold. But basically what happened with the district is that everybody that had, like my particular square footage, I donated the back, like 12 foot of the lot in the back part of my property, and my partner, who was Barry Caudill at that time, not Brad, donated 3 parking spaces, or 12 feet back, which gave him 3 parking spaces. Well, between us, we had 5 parking spaces. Those parking spaces were donated or designated for our parking only. That was the agreement that was made. It's not in writing anywhere, but I can tell you that's what my understanding was. We were to be assessed, and we were for a long period of time. The city was to maintain it and build it. And in 1997, what happened, in my point of view, what I remember, is the city attorney, and I don't remember if it was the city attorney before Martin or the one before that. It might have been Piquet. I don't think it was Roger Piquet. But at one time, the city attorney said that he didn't feel that the district was either legal or it was put together properly. And at that point, the city took the parking districts back, and they put some contingencies on them taking back the parking spot. 2-hour parking came up, and you can see the sign there. And it was maintained for a while. They had somebody that checked it every 2 hours and marked the tires, et cetera, et cetera. The other contingency that came out of that was that the parking was to be overflow for Ramona Park and for Ramona Garden Center, and any events that happened. And as you know, for the last 20-some years, anytime there was a street fair, anybody that owned a business there probably couldn't get into their business on the weekend because the parking lot was taken up by the event that took place. And so the city pretty much, that was kind of what the caveat of the city taking over the parking lot was, that they had control for overflow purposes. And in those 17 years or so that the city has been involved, or actually the 31 years since they built it, I don't think there's been $400 worth of maintenance put into it. It's been absolutely no maintenance that I know of. I don't even think the city dumps the trash. I think that the trash company dumps the trash. I'm not sure of that. But there's been no maintenance. The trees between the two parking districts, at one time, I cleaned that whole area out. One of the gals that worked for me got a ticket. And as a community service thing, the two of us cleaned out all those trees, all the bushes where the trees were. And then the city, the Parks and Rec people, ended up getting some Cal Poly people to build a big monstrosity there that was a... Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. It was a pretty big deck, a redwood deck, which went to heck and had to be torn down. So now I guess the city probably at least maintains that grass part. So in my point of view, the city took the parking district back, and there's no writing. I mean, we don't have any no documentation. There's no documentation on it. But they took it back, and I think they own it at this point. That the city could go into Ramona and develop two blocks of Ramona for the bus parking there, and develop another block south of there between 9th and 8th. That whole street there is developed for the E station, for a church, and for some property that's owned by a private property owner. If they can develop that and put in parking and continue to maintain that for a property that doesn't really bring any money or business, any money or jobs to the community, I think that they should be able to do the same for the business people in District 2 and District 1. That's my personal opinion. If the rest of the property owners want to do a assessment district, then I probably would be in favor of what Mrs. Bello said. Let's make it favorable to everybody and fairly cost effective for everyone. But I think at one time the city brought up, they determined that those districts were going to be theirs, and so I think that you need to probably live with that. Any questions?
No questions. Thank you.
I had one quick question. Were you saying that even though you can't find it in writing, it's your feeling that the city also owns District 2? Is that?
Well, they took over the maintenance of it, and they dropped the assessments. And my recollection to the fact that they dropped the assessments is because the city attorney at that time, and I don't know if it was Jim or whoever it was at that time, they said that it was either done improperly or it was illegal. And so at that point, they were not going to assess any property owners anymore, and they were going to take on the responsibility of the parking lots.
Okay, thank you.
That's my best memory.
Okay.
That it?
Thank you.
Yeah. It's up to you. Was there anyone else that wanted to address the item before the council? Seeing that, I'm going to bring it back to the council and let's have some discussion. Who wants to start?
Okay, I'll just I'll start.
Right?
Okay. Mr. Olson brought up a very good point, and that is it is an overflow for Ramona Park. There's no doubt about it. I park there all the time when I'm doing something at Ramona. Problem is we don't have any money, so. But that, I think that is something that we really do need to consider, because it's true. I know you folks can't park in your own parking lot because we're all there for the concert in the park or whatever it happens to be. So I would be very agreeable to coming up with some kind of something, but I don't know what that something might be.
Okay, very good. So let me, I'll just make some comments. I'm chomping at the bit and maybe kind of set the stage. Well, I see this as a two-part. The first is the parking lot is in terrible shape, and the portion owned by the city is probably the worst. And I wish we had a map that showed ownership on here, because the city owns property in the middle of this quasi-public parking lot. So whether it's an assessment or not, the mantra is we need to fix this. And whether it's the city partnering with the property owners, we need to fix this, and we need to stop getting wrapped around the legal axle. And I think you're right. The previous effort to form a district failed miserably, and we can't go forward with that. But we do need to find a way to fix this parking area. I know Mr. Ford, and I've met with him. He's expressed he's not looking for the city to fix his parking lot. He's looking to pay a proportionate or a fair share to get this done sooner than later. The second thing is, I know that you've given us a cost estimate by the city engineer. I would really like to see at some point a paving company actually come in and give us a very real estimate that's been ground truth. So, and then we can talk about the second part, which is the ongoing maintenance and the mechanism. Karen, I think you're exactly right. You know, I think the testimony we received tonight means that there is, in fact, some public benefit to this lot. And so I'm hoping that as we go forward, we think of this in the terms of, one, economic development. This is in the heart of our city center. This is an area that provides overflow parking at Ramona, because I think many of us have been to the concerts during the summer, and we've parked in this location. Ms. Bellows brought up a great point, and I had to smile when she talked about the reciprocal access, and I don't even know if they have reciprocal access easements on these properties. So we need to talk about that. But I do believe there is a public benefit. So I'm hoping that going forward that this council will consider partnering with these property owners, and I can see that Mr. Ford probably owns about half of the property there. So, you know, a lot of the heavy lifting is done so far. But then also to change the way we look at this, we don't have to say tonight what the mechanism is, and I'm almost wondering if it would be better to have a small group, a subcommittee, look at this and take 60 to 90 days to study all the issues, to come back with legitimate options. Because, and the reason I'm saying 60 to 90 days is that kind of puts us in the budget development window, and it doesn't mean we go on forever. So I'm going to jump off my soapbox and kind of see what the rest of the council's thinking.
Yeah, I had a couple comments. I've been thinking about this quite a bit, but what everyone's saying is really enlightening. But in my mind, this is almost, I really want the parking lot fixed as well. I've been yelled at by a lot of people, including my mom, about how bad it is. So, but I'm, and maybe a subcommittee will be what we need to do, because right now, as our options stand, I feel that getting, this is one of those situations where you think you want the government involved, but when you start getting the government involved, we may actually hinder the process more than we help. I'm not sure, but, you know, we own the portion that the city owns. We should put our resources toward, let's fix it. We know we own it. Let's fix it. The part that we don't own, it sounds like you're having some issues with a few stubborn owners. And I don't know that us getting involved and trying to work with those owners is going to make one darn bit of difference, except using staff time that might be able to be used elsewhere. And also the fact that if we get involved, you may have to pay higher prevailing wages to eventually fix the lot. We may actually stand in your way. I would love for us to see there's no doubt of the part we own, let's fix it. And if you guys can't, we could help you maybe mediate as a group or call in the lawyers and you know, for your section and get it done. But I worry that government involvement here might hinder the process.
Okay. Although, as you know, the fact that we own property in the middle means we're involved. So, but I hear you. Chair.
And actually, I was going to iterate what Councilmember Shaw was just talking about, which is kind of why I asked why the city owned part of the property or owned a portion of this, which she was saying, sometimes government can hinder the process or force it to be cause it to be more costly, which would go towards the effect of do we either vacate or sell and relinquish the aspect of the property, but obviously that takes away the opportunity for a public parking location. So I don't know if that's the best way. I do like your concept of having a subcommittee. One of the thoughts I had with regards to maintaining the property is it'd be highly unlikely we could use K-14 funds on this because it's not a street. But if we are about to do some improvements under our capital improvement program that are going to get transitioned under a potential reimbursement agreement for that, we may be freeing up some capital improvement funding, which may be able to get focused on this location here, which would kind of go towards what you were thinking of maintaining a portion of our portion of the property. So, but I would be supportive of some level of 60-day, 90-day subcommittee, for lack of a better term, to figure out what's the best direction to go in that gets us to the end as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Bob, do you have anything?
It seems that the District 1 area, the properties with their backs to that parking area, the post office and maybe one or two other businesses, I think, actually used that area for access to their business. So that maybe it's used as an employee parking area, if they, quote, own that property. So it's more used by the public than it is by the businesses because of the post office. I also wonder about the damage caused by the tree roots. Do you guys remember either Mr. Ford or Mr. Arnoldson, when those trees were planted or who planted them?
I do. Around 81, all the trees were planted about that area. It was in the middle, probably. I said they're all probably 81, but it was in the middle of Dunville because they've got probably more water.
And they were planted by the city?
Hang on a sec. Ron, I need you. Donna, are you able to capture this? Ron, I need you to come back up to the podium.
Most of the trees were planted by the as the parking district was put together originally, and as it was, the curb gutter and sidewalk and all the improvements were put in, the street trees were put in at the same time. All the trees were put in at that time. So whatever that date was, 81 or whatever, when I first started my business in that building, everything in District 2 was dirt. Both sides of my building were dirt. Everything in the back was dirt. People accessed the parking lot for the pharmacy and for the post office off 10th Street through the dirt, just as they do now. But it was at that time it was dirt instead of being paved. When it was paved, the trees were put in and all the improvements were put in at that time.
Okay, thank you. So it's kind of conundrum to me which areas we have any real legal responsibility for repaving and maintaining. Just the portion we have title to, the one that the city, according to Mr. Arnoldson, took over and developed as the whole square developed.
From the legal standpoint, city is responsible for the property that it has the deed to.
Okay.
The abandonment of the district, whosever fault it was, does not result in the city owning the property, assuming the responsibility. I mean, at some point in time, the council may have said, "We'll maintain it," and that was that council's decision at that time. But that does not establish legal ownership or legal responsibility to do so.
Okay.
Till eternity.
Okay.
Can I just make one more comment? I'd be willing to hear whatever a subcommittee would have to say on this. I just think we need to be real careful. I know a lot of people have said, well, we park there when we use Ramona Park. I personally never have parked there because I assumed it was a private business, and I wouldn't do that, and I thought I'd be towed. It's a real slippery slope when government starts coming in and saying, well, and putting money towards private parking lots that we don't own. The part that we own by deed, 100%, we should put all our resources toward fixing it. But who's to say the next business owner isn't going to come and say, well, remember that parade and everyone was parking in my place? So I really want us to be careful with that.
Very good. City Attorney.
Thank you. Honorable Mayor, Council members, I just want to make sure that the council is clear on one concept, and that is that the fact that the city owns a piece of property within that parking lot may have been the catalyst for things happening in the 70s and 80s. The city has the ability to form an assessment district related to a property that has absolutely no ownership in. If it can be established that the property is being used for public purposes, is being used for public benefit, the city can certainly propose an assessment district and have the voters, the property owners in that particular instance, basically decide whether or not they want to have a district, and which would then portions of it would be maintained with the funds that would come from that district. So, though in this particular instance, city does own a part of this parking lot, that isn't necessarily the driving force behind the city's ability or legal ability to propose an assessment district.
Okay, thank you. So I would suggest we move forward. I believe that there is enough evidence in the record based on past history to look into fixing this parking lot. I mean, I just can't. To sit out there and say we're going to fix only the portion owned by the city, and where is that on this map?
Yeah.
Chief, we're, because I'm sitting here trying to draw on an assessor's map, and I can't even tell.
So if you look, this middle section here where it says city portion, this L shape, if you might say, this portion here is the city's portion.
Okay.
So this is lots 13 and 14, and then the easterly end is portions of lot 15 and 16 if you have your assessor's map. So
okay.
It's the middle portion of the two districts. This whole one, this whole easterly section is District 1.
Yeah, you're good. I just wanted to know city.
Paving the city's portion will result in pavement being in half of a parking lot, parking space.
Mm-hmm. I understand. You guys forget I'm a recovering planner, and so man, I've worked for folks. So I think we form this committee. It's a 60 to 90 day. We're in the budget window. We look at. And they can look at ownership. I know that you've done the best you can, but I think that we look at ownership, we look at costs and get real costs, break that down, we look at maintenance and look at what does that look like as far as ongoing maintenance. Is it an assessment district or not? Because I can tell you we've talked about economic development and we've talked about forming public parking lots in the city because we've got small lots downtown along the Grand Avenue corridor in which if you try and make people put parking on their property, it takes up a third of their properties. And I'll be honest, this never came up while I was on the council previously. And had I known, I think the council would have looked at it when we were looking at doing these improvements on 9th Street, even when we did what was in front of the exploration station around the park, that would have been a good time to discuss it. So, you know, I'm going to take accountability for that. I was not aware. But I think this is something that we should definitely take a serious look at. And if Mr. Ford, who is the largest owner here, and I think the city's probably the second largest owner, is saying it's affecting his ability to fill these businesses, we should take a look at it and figure out what is fair and what is equitable. So, you know, I don't. From where I sit, I don't want to just drop this issue. I think we need to do something. We need to do something in the next 60 to 90 days, and that means identifying where those funds come from. I don't know if it's reserves. I don't know if it's part of the gas tax or part of, but I think there we can have that debate if there's enough public benefit to move forward. I think right now we don't have that information, and I don't want to sit here studying this for another 10 months. So
I'll kind of jump out on a limb then and ask the question of, not sure if it's the city attorney or city manager, of how do we create an ad hoc committee, and is it us and members of the public? Obviously, having Mr. Ford or some other group of portion of the ownership involved in that would be highly beneficial.
Yes.
But do we draw on a name from our most recent past of a former council member, Nichols, who was involved in this in the past? Is it easy enough to say bring him forward to be part of this committee along with either one of us or two of us? Or how do we do that?
To the attorney.
Thank you. An ad hoc committee for one specific purpose would not be a Brown Act body, whether or not one or two of you would be members of that. The formation of it, the composition of it, is entirely up to you. I think that if it's the wish of the council to, for example, appoint one member, current member of the council, potentially appoint former Mayor Pro Tem Nichols, and direct staff to have a staff representative and maybe one representative from the one or two representatives from the among the owners, and you know, less people, the faster things get done, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. But it's up to you how you wish to proceed and how you wish to form that.
Okay. So I think I counted a 5-member committee.
So I'll throw out a motion unless
please
there's further discussion, or no. I'll throw it out there and then we'll
let's
out.
Make a motion. Let's see where we are.
Gotcha. Then I will make a motion that we develop a subcommittee or an ad hoc committee, whatever the appropriate term is, with the task of developing options for maintenance and a potential assessment, district formation on the property, formerly known as District 1 and District 2, with a member representing the property owners, a member representing staff. My druthers towards that would actually be Chief Copsey at the moment, for two specific reasons, which I'll explain
interim
later. Interim Chief Copsey, which actually gives a setting date for the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So, former council member, former Mayor Pro Tem Bill Nichols, and then I'm open to whoever wants to participate in that. I'm willing to participate in that, but okay. I'm missing one person. I think that was four.
So I think we would have
Mr. Ford.
Two property owners.
No, two property owners.
Okay. One city, one owner, Mr. Nichols, staff. Oh, that is only four.
Two owners.
So
at
two
least.
Owners. So yeah. Two owners.
Two.
Okay.
Okay. And also in that is improvement of the parking area.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I would second that motion.
Okay. Very good. Any more discussion on the motion? And I think the direction is that committee comes back in 60 to 90 days, so that we have a chance to look at the real costs and have it as part of our budget. Budget process
for that.
Okay.
Do we want to set the representative from us at the moment, or do we do that on the next on a separate
suggest.
Action?
I think you can do that now.
Do that now.
Okay.
Do you have the time?
I have actually the time, since you've all been very nice to me, and I only have two committees.
Wow.
So
then we need to fill this time.
That's
you,
right.
You think?
Right. Let's
okay.
Get him while the getting's good.
So Mayor Pro Tem Lee would be the. So this committee would be 5 members, a member from the community, which is former council member Bill Nichols, staff rep, which would be interim Chief Copsey, city council rep, Mayor Pro Tem Lee, and two property owners, Mr. Ford, and I think the property owners can all decide who they would like to be the other representative.
And can we assume that Mr. Nichols will accept?
None of the council members know him. Anyway, okay. So
I'm not speaking on his behalf.
That's right.
No way.
You're good. So there is no resolution. We can do this on a voice vote tonight, correct? So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's take a 5-minute break. I reconvene the regular meeting for Grover Beach City Council meet on Monday, March 2nd, 2015. And I believe we had just concluded item number
five.
And what I'd like to do is I had requested an item number four be pulled. And rather than waiting to have it at the end after item six, which will be the discussion of goals and work program, that maybe we can take item four now.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
So, City Manager, are you going to staff report on this?
You know, essentially, very briefly, you have the report. The project is the Grover Heights Park Restroom Construction Project. Went out to bid, and we received only a single bid for that particular project, and I believe the amount was a little bit over $100,000. Staff reviewed the bid, determined that obviously we have funding sources for this project. We have about $80,000 in grant funding. The $100,000 exceeded that amount. Staff reviewed the bid, determined that in accordance with the bids and specs, we would remove one of the items that were a part of the original bid, and determined to also accept one of the alternates. We're recommending that the council authorize the award of the contract to Holland Construction and also adjust the budget by approximately $16,000 from park facilities funds that will fund what is needed, including inspection on the project and construction management. And that's staff's quick review.
Okay. And the reason I asked to pull this item from consent is I had gotten an email. I believe there was an email sent to Lynn Pearson from, and I was copied on this, I believe. Yeah. From a Michelle Tucker, who is with the Construction Industry Force Account Council. She had a question regarding this item, and I think questioning looks like was around it was competitively bid, and the loan bid received exceeded the available funds,
right.
And she wants to know if some of the items move part of the alternate. So I want to make sure if there was no other concerns from folks who may have potentially bid on this had it been a different project. So I just want to make sure that we are legally covered and moving forward in this action as recommended by staff tonight.
Could I have the city attorney respond
yes.
to that?
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. I sent an email to, I believe her name was Tucker.
Michelle Tucker.
Explaining exactly the situation. The city is not violating any laws in proposing the change in the bid as it's being proposed by staff. Certainly, the city has the right to alter the bid. Even under Public Contract Code Section 20103.8, which say this section does not preclude the local agents from adding to or deducting from the contract any of the additive or deductive items after the lowest responsible bidder has been determined. Even if for a moment we say that determination is a award vote by the council, in this particular instance we only have one bidder. So that one bidder is by definition the lowest bidder. So the lowest bidder has been determined. So reorganizing or making some changes to the various alternates in the bid amount in the project scope of work and changing the bid at this point in time does not prejudice any other bidder, does not certainly violate the code section, and legally speaking, I think the staff is on sound grounds in recommending what they're recommending.
Okay.
The other option would be to award the whole bid and then negotiate afterwards, which is really not necessary in this particular instance.
And then I did have a question because there were, looks like, four or five items that were taken out of the bid, base bid package to lower the amount, and then there was an alternate item added. So What does that mean with respect to the completion of this project when you've taken four or five items out? And then would that work be done, and would it be done by city crews then?
Actually, the items that we took out were the alternatives for the lighting. So essentially, we would keep the existing lighting. They would remove it during rehabilitation, and we would reinstall new fluorescent lighting at this time until we can get funding for LED. And then the other alternative was the roof. We did want a steel roof. However, due to the extensive cost of the roof, we decided to keep with the existing style that we have.
Okay. Anyone else have any questions?
Just a quick follow-up on that. So my understanding is, as part of the plans, they would remove the existing lighting and then effectively reinstall the existing fixtures. So,
yes.
Or would there be new fixtures?
There'll probably be new fixtures after we assess if we can reuse them.
Okay. But. And those funds are in the base bid?
Yes.
Okay. Great. That's all I had.
Okay. So they're in the base bid, but they're not in the amount of this grant we're awarding, correct?
Well, they were not. Yes, they were part of the
base bid.
Base bid. They were part of it, yeah.
So if I'm understanding correctly, so we've got fluorescence in the base bid.
Yes.
So the additives were to update
upgrade.
Those to LEDs.
Yes.
Okay, so we've
yes.
taken out the LEDs
yes.
and kept the fluorescence.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public that would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council. Is someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation. Do we need all four individual ones? Or
it's fine.
Then I move staff's recommendation.
Perfect. That works.
I second that motion.
And there's a second. If there's no discussion on the motion, roll call.
Yes.
Councilmember
Nichols.
Yes.
Councilmember
Guy.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
And Mayor Shaw. Yes. Motion carries. Okay, let's move on to item number six tonight, and this is the discussion regarding setting city goals and work program for fiscal year 16. City Manager Perrault.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as noted in the staff report, the setting of the goals and work program by the council is probably one of the most important tasks that the council will undertake during the budget formation process. As this will ultimately provide direction to the staff in terms of the actual development of the budget that will be presented to you in June. Once the goals and task force are adopted, that also provides a mechanism for reporting back to council on a regular basis as to the progress we are making in the implementation of those goals in accordance with the budget and resources. Tonight's discussion is really the first step in a two-step process. Attached for the council's use, you'll find the FY15 work program and list of tasks. The council should use this primarily as a base and then provide the staff with the direction to modify, change the goals, however you see fit. We will take that input and then return back to the council at the meeting, at the next meeting, and at that time the delivery of the item will also include a public input portion so that the public is offered an additional opportunity to comment on the goals in the task force, goals and task work program. Just to remind you, the existing program consisted of essentially seven goals. The first goal was kind of a two-part goal. It made a statement regarding economic vitality, and this was broken into two parts. One was economic development, and the other was financing and funding. Actually, economic vitality was prioritized as the number one goal for the council at the time. The remaining goals are listed 2 through 6, but as indicated at the time they were adopted, it wasn't to imply any kind of a priority statement. Just to further give you some background as you consider setting the work plan for the coming year, just want to give you a few brief comments on the upcoming budget so you know what kind of constraints and opportunities that we'll be dealing with. At this point in time, as we look to next year, within the general fund, we're looking to continue to see the health of the city gradually improve as we did last year. We're expecting very modest improvements both in property tax and sales tax. Property tax, we're looking at potentially an increase of 1 to 2%. And please keep in mind that property tax constitutes almost 50% of our general fund budget. A couple of other points I wanted to make, and that is there is a potential that the budget could be augmented with one-time revenues that we receive from development-related revenues. This would be largely associated with the hotel project and pulling permits. If the El Camino Hotel actually is under construction this summer, it would be important to consider that it'll take about a year to complete. So first revenues we would see from TOT would be in the following year. That's why it's noted as one-time revenue. Expenditures, the other issues associated just with the operational fund that we want to make you aware of. First of all, something that the council has very little control over, and I hate to tell you that way, but it's the CalPERS rates. Those are set by CalPERS. They're actuarials. They are in the process of analyzing those actuarials. Cross statewide, cities are looking at an increase in CalPERS expenditures of somewhere between 8 and 10%, and that will be continued over a five-year period. So that would be fairly significant cumulatively. You're looking at 8 to 10% could be $80,000 to $100,000 per year. We actually are going to probably be a little better off than our adjoining cities, and the reason for that is this council long ago, before the retirement programs were revised by legislation, actually maintained that the employees were to pay their share of the retirement, and we had lower enhanced programs than the surrounding communities. For instance, the surrounding communities long ago went to public safety at a 3% at age 50 formula. Ours is right now 3% at 55. So just so you know, that conservation will at least help us out somewhat. We will be reporting a little bit in the future more about this subject when we know the actual costs, so that it'll be something that you will need to keep in mind as you develop budget. Obviously, the capital improvement program, we're looking for some. We've got a huge amount of challenges there. The key one is with the passage of and the issuance of the first bonds for the street rehab and rehabilitation program, followed by a number of other grant programs that we have in line. So it isn't that these dollars are these programs are going to impact the general fund or operational funds in any way, but certainly we're going to have to gear up from a staff perspective to be able to deal with the additional workload, and we've begun that process already. Over time, there is the potential that that could impact operational funds depending on the flow of grant dollars in future years. The Water Enterprise Fund, I don't want to belabor it. We've reported on the issue within the Water Fund as a part of the mid-year budget. Certainly is something that the council will have to think about, and there will continue to be the need to participate regionally in trying to develop long-term sustainable water sources for us. And so that always comes with a cost as well. In terms of workload, as you develop the goals and tasks for us during the next year, just listed some of these current workload items. Some of these relate directly to a previously adopted goal or task. Others do not. Others are, you know, state-required mandates that we're still moving ahead with, including the stormwater program, et cetera. But I just wanted you to be aware of what that current workload is as well. In essence, you know, I'm going to wind up my portion of the report. What we're here to do is to facilitate the process for you. The goals and work program you adopted or the council adopted last year, we put up on the overhead to be able to assist you with the process. But essentially, I can am available to answer any initial questions you have. Then I would suggest that the council discuss setting the goals for the next budget program. Mr. Mayor?
Okay, thank you, Bob. Any questions of staff at this point? Okay. So, Bob, let's make this pretty formal. I would say let's walk through these goals. Give us an update, not just for us, but the folks who are in the audience or at home, so they know what's been accomplished. And then we can go into a discussion of if the council wants to keep a goal, change the wording, add a new goal.
Sure.
Okay.
We'll start with the number one goal, economic vitality. And this was an overarching goal statement, as I recall. And it says to develop a strong, vital municipal organization empowered to maximize current and future resources and to work with its partners to deliver quality services to its citizens and improve infrastructure. I'll cover the first sub-part of that, which was economic development. The goal was to continue to strengthen the city's economic base by promoting the city for business and tourism cooperatively with economic development organizations and business owners to retain existing jobs and create employment opportunities. The tasks are outlined as completing the implementation, including the construction of the municipal broadband network, the facilitation of the hotel at 950 El Camino Real, facilitation of the Grover Beach Lodge and Conference Center, continue to support regional and local events. This is like the Savor event, as you'll recall. Continue to implement a program to meet with existing businesses and new businesses in order to acquaint them with available services and resources. In terms of the status, agreements between City Council and Digital West for the implementation of the municipal broadband system were reviewed by Council. The engineering and design agreement has been authorized. Engineering is underway at the present time. In fact, met briefly with Tim Williams about 10 days ago, and I would expect that we'll see the design package submitted to the city probably within the next 45 days. In terms of the facilitation of the hotel project at 950 El Camino, we're anticipating that permits will still be issued before the end of the fiscal year. We're in the process of reviewing the final infrastructure plans and working to resolve a particular issue regarding the sewer transmission of sewer from the site. In terms of the lodge project, as you know, the lodge project was completed. The Coastal Commission review was completed in June. Staff is working to complete an EDA grant for construction of public infrastructure with the exception of the conference center. Do want to note that we have a JA meeting scheduled for this coming Thursday at 9 a.m. and we'll be dealing with a couple of those issues relative to moving the project forward. We've seen the Kaiser Marston study has been returned, so we're going to be dealing with the actual review of the size of the conference center and a couple of other issues relative to the operation of the hotel itself that should assist in getting the grant application wrapped up. And as I noted, the city is had participated in the Savor the Central Coast and assisted Grover Beach United with its car show event. So that's a brief status on that economic development goal. If you want me to stop and or
no, I want you to go.
Oh, okay. good enough. Financing and funding. Implement the goal. This is the second part of the economic vitality. It's the implement a strategy that increases revenues and makes the best use of existing resources to sustain and improve core city services and meet infrastructure funding requirements. The first task was the implementation of financing options for the long-term street rehabilitation program. At the time, it was to consider the placement of the charter measure on the ballot. It was to initiate the process for the financial system upgrade and the purchase of software and hardware necessary to operate the several modules related to the recording and processing of the city's financial activities, and to consider placement of the street bond measure on the ballot. Obviously, in July, this is the status. The council adopted the legislation for Measure K-14 to put the approval of bonds up to $48 million on the November ballot. This, in turn, is the long-term funding option that has been referenced. The measure was approved by the voters. We're in the process of implementation. Next council meeting, the council will receive the package on the selection of streets. We also have issued an RFP to retain a program engineer manager to head the streets portion of the street program itself. The city is, in addition to that, the city is as noted here, is completing the design for Brighton, South 7th, and Nice Streets. These will essentially be the first street projects underway. We expect that those designs should be done within the next couple of weeks, and we'll be able to return to the council with a review on those designs, and then the next part of that will actually be the bid process. Council decided not to put the charter on the ballot measure, and that completed that work assignment. The next goal is streets, transportation, utilities, and infrastructure. And as you'll note here, some of the tasks are repeated. That's because they actually impacted a couple of different goal areas. The goal here was to develop and maintain a modern street and infrastructure system that will provide for the safe and continuous movement of traffic and anticipates future demands for water distribution, wastewater, stormwater collection and drainage. The tasks were to continue to implement short and long-term strategies again with the streets, complete the train station expansion. Staff will ensure that key infrastructure, including water and wastewater utilities, undergrounding of overhead lines, street repair, and the installation of broadband is coordinated wherever possible, and continuing to maintain a wastewater system that complies with the state health requirements, etc. The status, obviously, again, we've approved and moved forward with the implementation of the bond measure. The bonds, by the way, just to give you an update there, should be going to market here within the next week or two, and we are anticipating that that bond issue will be closed by the end of the month, and we should receive the first bond proceeds in early April. The other thing I'll mention, I know I had indicated in the Friday letter, but we have successfully received a rating from Standard and Poor's on those bonds of a AA rating, which is better than we anticipated, and that actually will help hold down the interest rate and provide more dollars over the short term for streets. So that actually is good news. At present, we are proceeding with the design of Oak Park Boulevard. Staff is working with Caltrans and local assistants to prepare the NEPA document associated with the train station expansion project. We had to take part of us half a step backward with this particular project, in essence. At one time, just to refresh the council's memory, we have this project is estimated to cost approximately $2 million. We had only about $1 million. The CMAQ dollars being added to this, we now have the full funding for the project, but it's required an additional NEPA review. Number three goal is public safety, to maintain a safe community by providing well-trained and equipped public safety, emergency medical services, police, and fire. And the two tasks identified here were to continue to work with and assist the community in an effort to address vagrancy impacts, and also to increase sworn personnel to 19 full-time sworn positions. Council, as you know, adopted a process, a strategy for dealing with the vagrancy homeless issues in September. Council has already taken and completed a couple of tasks outlined in that strategy. That included the aggressive animal ordinance in October. That was followed just last month with the passage of the aggressive and panhandling ordinance. It's been adopted. Its effective date, I believe, is March 20th, and we will begin gearing up for enforcement. Surveillance cameras are in place. That was another part of that strategy, and the surveillance cameras are in place and operating at Ramona Park, and that allows us to take a look at what's happening in Ramona Park. And that feed is directly into the dispatch center. So that's been done. The police department, per the council's direction, staff has already issued the recruitment announcement for the new police officer. That's out and out public, and we will recruit in that position until filled. We also have made the budget allocation for the overtime, and police department is in the process of implementing the overtime focused on dealing with the downtown issues. Community development and housing. This goal is to develop and implement plans consistent with the general plan and the community's vision for the future of the city, balanced land use, economic vitality, the creation of a wide range of housing opportunities, and to improve the quality of life. There are a number of items listed here. The next and first priority is the sign ordinance in FY15. And we are still looking to do that. Obviously, planning and community development is also partnering with the other development projects that I've already mentioned. Number five, parks, recreation, and beautification. Maintain existing park facilities and develop new park facilities that will contribute to improve the quality of life for the residents and improve the visitors to Grover Beach. The major task is the implementation of facilities improvement recommendations per the adopted list. We are in the process of doing that. The pergola was replaced at Ramona Garden Park. We have completed some painting at both Ramona Garden Park as well as the depot. We're in the process of completing the sidewalk at replacement at Golden West Park. That'll probably take the remainder of the fiscal year to complete. Under public administration, I'm not going to necessarily deal with each of these tasks. These tasks have all been mentioned already. It's more or less because administration has general oversight for each of those individual tasks. So, Mr. Mayor, that completes my update.
Thank you, Bob. That was a very thorough update, and we appreciate that, everyone, right? So let's just start at the very top, economic vitality. How does the council feel about the goal as stated? And I think, is that something we want to continue keeping on our list of goals and our program for fiscal year 16?
I think so.
Okay.
I think it's crucial.
Okay. So we're going to keep that. And I'm trying to get a sense on this because it looks like this was broken out into two goals or two sub-goals?
Yeah, actually, there were two parts of that. Economic vitality was essentially two parts of it. One was economic development, and that was kind of a sub-part of the goal. And the other sub-part was financing and funding. And those were viewed at the time by the council as sort of, if you will, the overarching priority. That was prioritized. The rest of them were not.
Just to,
so what do you think, Jim?
To reiterate what the city manager was saying, it's there was, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there was a choice, but economic development was kind of driving the discussion. Mm-hmm. But without that, without the financial backing, we wouldn't be able to do one without the other. And so that's why it became a 1A, 1B type of discussion. I think in before I was on the council, that ended up being 1 and 2. So I think it was just
right.
a kind of a formatting
yeah.
discussion
right.
that we had at the last setting.
But we really felt that we needed to keep the funding part in the forefront because you can make all these different goals, but if you have no way to implement them or no funding to do so,
yeah.
it's just kind of like a pipe dream.
Okay. And it looks like all the tasks under 1B have been accomplished, if I'm not mistaken.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So do we need to, and I don't have any specific options or recommendations, but I think the budget will kind of bear out that these have been accomplished and moving forward, and I guess we just need to make sure that they're the funding sources are accomplishing what we want them to accomplish, or if we need to either come up with either alternate funding solutions or alternate revenue slash expenditure discussions, so to kind of maintain those.
Yeah, I agree. So,
Mr. Mayor, the only one that I do want to point out is obviously the financial system upgrade. It's been initiated, but it's ongoing, and it will probably be a year or two before we've got that completely up and running, and that's why that data is a little bit longer out there.
Okay.
And if I might interject a question there. So do we have an update on when the first module is going to will be implemented?
This last week we just got the contracts back to Harris. They are going to be, because I was out, they're going to be contacting me next week with regards to an implementation schedule. I'm looking at probably starting April 1st, and the first thing we will be implementing will be the chart of accounts and the city basic financials. And after that, probably sometime around July 1st, we would be looking at starting the community development module.
Okay, and the community development module was the planning and the building components of that. And I'm not sure if this is the correct spot to put it, but maybe I'll throw it out here and just to see to start the conversation. Is in my brain, one of the reasons behind the financial system upgrade was obviously to bring us forward with efficiencies of and bringing us off of a DOS-based system into a workable system for the city, but also with the hope and the intent that it provides a community service tool for members of the community to come in and to really streamline our process of working with city staff. Then it's a lot easier that the computer does to some of the hard lifting that staff has had to do to go find reports and stuff like that. So I doubt if I'm saying that as eloquently as I would like to, but I'm assuming that this financial software will provide staff with better tools, better resources to provide the service to the public.
We will have better financial reporting. Currently, utility billing can be utility bills can be paid online. We will continue with that with the new system. Actually, the new portal should be easier for people to use. So, as we see efficiencies moving forward with the system, we're going to try to implement as much as we can for the public to be able to utilize online.
Okay. So then, bear with me as I keep going. So with regards to the community development module, so is it the intent or the hope that some of our online permitting will be able to be streamlined to allow for whether it be window permits or roof permits or something that might be over the counter currently might be applied for online and then they come down or a contractor comes down or even fully gets the permit issued online. Is that something that this package or the software does?
That I will have to look at to see if it will, but any efficiencies that we can make, we will be doing that. But I would have to look at the community development module again to see if that could be accomplished.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things that you may want to put is maintaining the financial system, but you probably maybe want to indicate there to streamline operational efficiencies within individual departments wherever possible.
So I would say come back with that, the wording on that, because I'm also wondering, I've been getting a lot of calls about people who said, hey, how come you aren't set up to take credit card payments?
We can take credit card payments online. We're just not set up in-house. That is something we will be looking at with the new financial system is moving forward with taking credit cards in-house. I'm anticipating the utility billing system probably to be started sometime in the spring of next year.
So credit card at that time for just utility billing?
Once we get the new utility billing module up and running.
Okay, but not for engineering or planning?
There are costs associated
Understand.
With that, huge costs, and we would need to look and see if convenience fees could be applied to those. My understanding at the current time is they cannot be applied to building related or to those types of credit card charges.
Okay.
So that's something that we will have to research.
I think we should maybe not tonight, but let's have a deeper dive into that situation.
Okay, yeah, I was just gonna ask where the reasoning behind them not being able to be applied is that a city ordinance issue? Because I know a number of other jurisdictions do all sorts of.
Some of the credit card companies do not allow it.
Then
do not allow convenience charges. People charge them, but some of the credit card companies do not allow it. We want to make sure that we do things within the realm of what the credit card companies will allow. Some of the credit card fees are as high as 5%.
Okay. It's worthy of a discussion. Uh-huh. Grover's mm-hmm. not special. Other people do this, so we want to figure out how we do that. So we're going to, okay, I think we got a consensus that we'll keep economic vitality and we're going to keep goal 1 and B for now, correct? Then let's move to streets, transportation, utilities, and infrastructure. That's a mouthful. And I'm hoping we can get to a point where we have, I think what we really need to do is get to a point where we can have goals and we can decide what's the priority and then rank them if we're talking about limited resources. So I'm going to say, do we want to keep this goal and do we want to keep it as worded? Is everyone okay with that one?
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely keep the goal. It's kind of been my mantra a little bit to figure out how we can utilize all the funding and the funding sources that we have at our disposal and kind of start to expedite some of these. And I know staff is working forward on a number of them. I don't know if there's a way to encourage that expediting, for lack of a better term, in the goal, or how that gets accomplished. Without staff pulling out their hair, we need to make sure that they're expedited but done efficiently and, mm-hmm. and correctly,
okay.
So to the benefit of the city.
Okay. So then there was these different. What do you call these tasks?
Yes.
Is that what you were calling these? So continuing to implement short-term, long-term strategy, I guess that's something that we're going to keep doing.
Mr. Mayor, with that, I would suggest that one of those key tasks is got to be very important is the implementation of the street rehab and rehabilitation program as authorized and funded
Agreed.
Through the bond program.
Agreed. So that'd be added. And then I was going to suggest, in addition to that, we talk about updating our water and sewer master plan, because I know that we had gone through a process of updating the land use element and zoning for certain areas in the northern part of the city, and the natural step should have been to take a look and see, are those properties served? And I'm thinking about the Tanner property and the piece down by AJ Spurs. I think there had been some interest expressed in some of those properties, but we really haven't analyzed if we have sufficient infrastructure to support something down there. So, okay.
And maybe ask a question of our Zone 3 representative, because I don't know how this impacts us with the Sigma regulations coming down from the state, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act. I know we as Grover are not in a particular basin because our entire water supply is adjudicated, so I don't know how that impacts us, and I don't know if that puts us into a Sigma or a GSA or whatever the appropriate acronyms are. I know 2017 is one deadline, and 2022 is another deadline. So I don't know if this impacts us at all or not.
And I can't say. That has not been addressed by the county to Zone 3. So, but I can certainly inquire, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Going along with that, I know PISMO was considering their upcoming goals, and one thing that they included was looking at new ideas for water reclamation and building up the groundwater. And I really think we should do that and also be making efforts to partner with the other cities as they're doing it, because we should all be in this together and find some new sources for water.
And I think those are all excellent comments, and I was actually thinking we should break water out as its own goal. I think it kind of gets lost in this one here. That water, and I think what Marion, you just brought up, as well as obviously the discussion about supply and the quality of our water should be broken, and I think that is such a huge issue. We don't want to have it buried. So I think we are, well, so basically I think staff would, I think the direction is we might want to massage the streets, transportation, utilities, and infrastructure goal, but then we do want to break water out as its own goal.
I think I just had another thing when you're done with water. I know it says undergrounding of overhead lines, in one of the goals, but I would really like to see, along with the first goal of continue to implement short and long-term strategy for rehabilitation of the streets, undergrounding overhead lines and creating sidewalks whenever possible or wherever possibly funded, seeking funding sources, whenever we can, as we go along fixing the streets.
That's good input. You guys okay with that? Because I was going to offer a slightly different take, that I agree with undergrounding overhead lines, and I know in the past we had put together several districts. I don't know whatever came of those. I can say that I had heard through the rumor mill that one of the Grove Beach projects was dropped from a county list or something, so I do think we need to revisit that. And then I think the idea of having a comprehensive plan for sidewalk replacement, and that be done in conjunction with the streets, or, we got to figure out the detail on that. So I think that would be good.
Yeah, that makes excellent sense.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So then public safety. I think we all probably want to keep that correct.
Yes. I think we do.
My only suggested add to that is that we actually include a line on here that talks about sustaining fire response and emergency services. Does that, that is part of public, that's a huge part of public safety.
I would like to try to add something, because I see continue to work and assist the community with the vagrancy impacts. I would like to see us work this year with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition on things we can do to also provide for the homeless citizens in our city. For example, we have a small warming center in Grover Beach. We can support that. And I know Jeff would know more about it, but for example, it's been mentioned to me, if you even gave us space once a month to have an open house, that would be great, and we could kind of rotate that around. But I want us to somehow, yes, we're doing things to control vagrancy, but I also want to provide for those citizens as well services too, where we can.
So I was thinking about that too, and I was wondering if that's more appropriate to have something under community development and housing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine with me.
Okay. So public safety, we've got fire services, we've got something about police, and I guess we'll have to come back on this one about working with and assisting the community to address the vagrancy impacts, because I know we've adopted a law, and then we need to figure out how do we implement that. And I know we had talked about looking at additional officers on the street, an additional officer on the street. So I think maybe just, Bob, when you come back, you can...
Yeah, I will, but just we're already in that, in doing that.
Yeah.
So just so you're aware.
Okay. So then, how about community development and housing? Everyone okay with that goal?
Yes. I'm wondering, though, there has been some discussion regarding the actual process of building permits and going forward in that process. Mm-hmm. Would this be an appropriate place to put some kind of a goal to streamline the permitting process, or maybe not, I don't know how we'd actually, yeah. But you know what I'm saying, I think.
No, I think it's a really good thought, and I was wondering that myself. Do you put it there, or do you put it under economic development?
I actually would think that maybe it comes more under economic development myself as an added task there, because when you talk about streamlining, what you're really talking about is streamlining development review, I think, that really encompasses both planning and engineering, which is more than community development,
right.
Per
sure.
se.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that was, thanks for bringing that up, Karen, absolutely.
Yeah. So does that mean we go back under 1A and have some language inserted in there?
Okay. I would put it there.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And would that also cover what we were talking about at the last meeting with revisions of our municipal code, or would that be appropriate under community development?
That would be, I think, appropriate under community development and housing.
Just as a recollection, and you can all squash me in just a second. There was an item several years ago with regards to vacation rentals.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that needs to be in here. And like I said, you're about to squash me. So I don't know if that needs to come back. So I don't recall the final discussion since that was before my time. But is that something that would be beneficial, realizing it adds additional.
I think
it's good to put on the radar, though. Now that you've outed it.
or does the city manager keep it in his back pocket? And no. when we go through the signed ordinance, the parking standards, and the plan and development standards, it starts to rise to that level, or does it go as the bottom and start to creep up to the top?
No, I think you're right. I think we added here, because I was also thinking, do you add it here or do you add another goal called community vitality and have vacation rentals and other things? So just a brainstorm. I know we don't want to get too many goals, so that's the tough part. So why don't we put it here under here for now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. One other thing: partner with a nonprofit organization to develop an affordable housing project. Mm-hmm. I would love to see us put a date on that, because now we have some money, and I know I've been working with the Housing Trust Fund, and they've said they'd love to get involved with us if we could say fiscal year 16 or.
Yeah, I agree, and I think what we'll do is the process is. We'll agree on the goals tonight, whether we modify them, we add some things, and then send staff away with direction to refine it and come back, and then we can talk about how we implement these goals, and that's when we start to add some dates. Because I would hope that all of these goals will be looked at through the lens of the resources that we have available to us. So, but definitely let's get them on the list for now. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, parks, recreation, and beautification. Everyone, any thoughts on this particular goal?
The bullet point or the chevron is to implement facilities improvement recommendations. Do we, and maybe it's kind of attributed in other elements or other thoughts of economic development, but obviously our Parks and Rec group do so many events and such public outreach and volunteer activities. It's kind of, at the moment, an unspoken goal.
Right.
To maintain the vitality of the community. I don't know how to say that, but I don't know if we need to put it here, if it's another spot, or if there's a way to say that.
Somehow continue the events, continue or increase, but keep them at the level that they're at.
Right. And with the hope at some point that at the investment that the community makes into them, whether they're self-sustaining or not, is the community gets a benefit from them, but to that will support them to the extent possible. And I'd throw out something here just from a standpoint is, do we, maybe this is a directive for Parks and Rec to talk about, is do we have the right events? Do we have too many events? Do we have events that are not drawing the people that we want them to draw, and we should actually focus attention in a different direction? And I don't know if that becomes a goal or if that just ends up becoming potential initiative or directive for Parks and Rec staff.
Yeah, is that a strategy or an implementation measure? So
that makes a lot of sense, though. You know, I've been thinking about this, and I really kind of view some of these events as major public relations type of issues. I mean, people will talk to me about concerts in the park, people who live in Paso or whatever, and so they come for that, but then they'll say, you know, I stopped at so-and-so, or, you know, Grand Avenue is looking really good. I really like what you've done with your town. So I think that is something we definitely need to support, and I think looking at the various events and how they really do impact the community and if they are a real benefit, I think is something that we really do need to do. Or have someone who knows what they're doing do it.
I agree.
I think there are a lot of smaller events that aren't advertised widely enough to really get a lot of participation from out of town area. The garden tour, some of our surrounding cities have, you know, a big to do about it in their city, in their main street advertising and everything like that. And I think we need to go a little further in that direction.
So we can give some direction to the Park Rec and Beautification Commission, I think. And maybe that's a directive and a strategy, because I think those are all really valid points. Jeff, you said something, and I'm wondering on the Park and Recreation and Beautification if maybe this becomes community vitality, because it kind of does fit in that. Mm-hmm. So what does everyone else think? I mean, do we just keep it that this Park, Recreation, and Beautification, and then in parens, community vitality, or?
Well, I think going towards your community vitality comment, we could include that in here, or as you were thinking earlier about having almost either a subset of another item, because community vitality also does center on our actions or inactions on vagrancy. Or on various other things. So, I mean, or streamlining of permits. I mean, it gets into community vitality as well, because all of those together become an ability for the city to grow, have additional pride and community organization, which then brings people into the community for businesses, increases sales tax. People start improving their storefronts and kind of redevelops.
I'm almost wondering if it's too broad. So, you know, and I'll just tell you what I'm hoping we can do is under park, rec, and beautification, you know, I'm trying to figure out how do we, you know, one of the things that I've heard from folks is the Trouville Center. Is that something, you know, the condition of it? And I know we're going to be piling on, but do we want to at least start to put that on the list? And then there have been folks who've come forward and talked about a senior center in the heart of downtown that may be done. I know there's a group out there talking about doing that, and that might help address the other issue of some of the other issues we've been dealing with. Mm. I'm just going to put it that way. So mm-hmm. is that maybe a bullet we can put under here and with the senior center and just an assessment of existing facilities? Maybe that's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Assessment
mm-hmm.
of existing programs and facilities. And
yeah.
And as far as events, maintaining the events we have and maybe publicizing them more okay. to attract
yep. So we'll put outside. That all under Park and Rec.
Okay. And I think the my time on the Parks and Rec Commission, I do recall an assessment that we did either on an annual basis or a biannual basis so that might be something that's already being accomplished, just kind of continuing to upgrade that on mm-hmm. on a periodic basis.
Yeah. Okay. So then the last one is public administration. I think the city manager probably touched on this a little bit, and maybe we don't necessarily have to have a goal because this is part of their job is to work on these goals and these tasks. So, is it okay if we draw next to that? So then I want to go back up to the top. We've got right now number one is economic vitality, and that breaks out into 1A and 1B, which is the economic development piece, and then financing and funding. We then have streets, transportation, utilities and infrastructure. I think we had talked about having a separate goal for water, which would be, let's say, mm-hmm. 4, and then we have public safety, and then we have community development housing, and then parks, recreation, and beautification. So I think at this point we want to decide, is that the order or do we want to change the order? Is the order economic vitality? Is it streets? Is it water? Is it public safety?
All of those really just play right into mm-hmm. economic vitality, doesn't it?
Yeah,
really.
It does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, as the city manager said in his presentation, the former discussion we had was that these weren't actual rankings. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if maybe another way to think of that is to take off the numbers.
I don't know. Let's discuss that. I mean, mm-hmm. do we want to do that, or do we want to mm-hmm. give them a priority that says, hey, if you've only got so much money, what do you do first? What do you address first? So I don't know if it's the goals that we rank or the task that come under them. You know, because I think if we had to say, hey, we only have so much money, folks, do you want to do, oh, by the way, we need to put parking under number 2 based on a conversation we had earlier tonight. Mm-hmm. So you know, I don't know. I mean, if we're okay, we can leave the goals and not rank them, but maybe when they come back with the task, we can figure out how to best rank, put those in the best order, maybe. Maybe that's the way to do it.
Well, really, I think, it's really dependent upon what's going on in the community at the time as well. You know, these are very fluid. They can, you know, they can move around. So at one time, it may be that streets and so on are right up there, but there are other times when maybe it's public safety because of whatever issues are going on in the community. So I don't know that it's, I mean, we can certainly rank them, but just knowing that it's, you know, it's a living document, it's going
right. to, mm-hmm.
things are going to move and change and so on.
So maybe at this point in time, we should say, if someone came to you and said, what's your priority for the city, what would it be?
My priority at this time would be getting the lodge
okay.
going. So that would be economic vitality, I
agree.
Guess.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, mine would be slightly different.
Let's
hear it.
Only from the standpoint is mine would be economic vitality or economic development through improvement of our streets, which leads to development of the lodge and the broadband and so forth. So it's, I mean, I think our focus for the next year is really going to be implementation of K-14, because that's going to lead to the initiation of a lot of economic development within the community.
Great point.
Mr. Smarty-Pants.
So are you voting for streets?
Well, kind of.
So are you crafting a mission statement? Because I like the mission statement.
I wish I could remember what I just said. So if it's a good mission
statement. Don't worry, Donna's got a tape recorder.
Yeah. Yep. But going back to the thought that you were just saying is if we were to rank them by resources, my recovering engineer hat on, Public Works has lots of bond measure funding, lots of CDBG funding, lots of other grant funding, and I mean that's where the engine of our redevelopment is gonna come from.
Okay.
So that would be my recovering engineer hat being on, and if we're gonna focus on where the resources are, and
so. What do we do this? No, I mean, this is great. This is great discussion. Honestly, we're doing something in probably an hour and a half that I can tell you the city of San Luis Obispo probably took a day and a half over the weekend to do. So I think this has been really good discussion and we're moving in the right direction. So perhaps to move us forward, we should just maybe list these out now, and then when we come back, we can have a look, we can think about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we keep economic development, because it's economic vitality. I know this is a little awkward to me, but 1A and 1B, because I'm thinking they ought to look at everything through the prism of 1B, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But we keep 1A, 1B, and then streets be two. I would say water would be three, because I think it was breaking that out. Mm-hmm. And then public safety, 4. Community development, housing, 5. And then parks and recreation and education, 6.
So you don't want to do like a 2A and 2B? For water? No?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see, because they've got the wording under the goal.
I don't know. That was just a thought.
Mr. Mayor, one of the things that I might suggest is that, you know, actually, number one is an overarching statement. It's almost a mission statement for the entire organization. Maybe you don't number that. That's just your overall overarching mission statement that you're looking for. And everything else sort of flows from that.
Agreed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So then, based on that, do we renumber these? 1, economic development. 2, financing and funding.
What I might suggest there is that you just keep that 1, economic development, and maybe combine the two rather than having 1A and 1B. They're still somewhat related. And I'll use a little bit of discretion and take what you've given me in terms of economic development and add a couple of things like the streamlining, et cetera. Would also naturally fall in here.
Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
So we combine the two. And then maybe as part of this, the mission statement, I think we do want to lead in with the caveat that these are all going to be based on available resources, and that's financial as well as human.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, then that's 1. 2 of streets. And Karen, you asked a question, so maybe we just simplify it and make. Let's go back and thought maybe you guys can modify the wording under number 2 and then come up with specific wording for goal 3, which is water addressing the issue, because it's such a huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
Bury it. Mm-hmm. And then public safety, community development, and housing,
and then Park and Rec. So I think we'll have five or six.
Yeah, we'll still be with six, I think, won't we? No. Mm-hmm. We'd have one. Yeah, still be six. Okay. I'll be interested to see how it all plays out.
So Bob, you'll bring this back to us, and then with refinements, and then we can take an official action.
Right.
Okay? Nice job, everyone.
Great.
I think we're good on that one, then, because that was the recommendation, was the review. And so I guess I should see if anyone from the public has any comments on this. Nope, we get a thumbs up, we're good, okay. So then, council committee reports. Karen, you have anything you want to report?
I have a couple.
Well, Miriam?
If nobody else wants to go first. But I have actually quite a bit from Visit Slow, because it's looking like the TMD is going to be getting formed around April 7th. And Bob and I have been in contact with the directors of Visit Slow, because they want our input in appointing a Grover Beach representative. But the complicated thing is none of us can be the representatives anymore. It has to be one of the hotel. It has to be a hotel representative. So I don't know, Bob, if you want to jump in.
Well, it makes it somewhat complicated for us, Mr. Mayor, because the problem that you've got is they're expecting us to essentially the council to do the selection process, and the problem is the time frame is relatively short. You've only got one meeting between now and April 7th. To select this person. It's not that I think you're going to be overwhelmed with applicants, but they are looking for someone that is representing an existing lodging location. So you're fairly limited in what you have in town.
And that it is what it is, and everybody agreed to the TMD, but it's a little concerning for the circumstances of our town, because when I sit on Visit Slow, I'm always pushing for Grover Beach, and I don't know that a person from Holiday Inn or one certain hotel is really going to push for the city as a whole in the way we used to do. So it's going to be a change. You know, other cities have their little tea bids, so their representative is probably pushing greater goals. But we don't have that situation, and maybe as we get more hotels, we should think about forming one because this is going to be very different representation than we've had before. Not that there's anything we can do about it. But.
Gotcha. City Attorney?
Thank you. And Mayor, Council members, has anybody seen bylaws or a document that specifically states what the qualifications or the necessities of a representatives are? In other words, does it say it has to be somebody who is currently an owner or has an interest in a hotel in Grover Beach?
I don't remember the specific terms, but when it was done before, it needs to be a representative of one of the properties that pays into the district. So effectively, from our standpoint, it would be one of our three hotels that has TOT.
But representative meaning
does not
can it be somebody that they agree to be the representative?
Oh,
correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, my understanding, it could be like the general manager. It could be the general manager's representative. It doesn't need to be an owner.
It could be the next door neighbor, as long as they agree that he is the representative from their hotel, I would imagine.
Okay. Yeah. So something maybe to look into.
Yeah. Here. So I think we need to initiate that process. Bob, do you think we initiate by contacting all the owners, or what should we?
Well, what obviously this isn't an item on the council's agenda.
Right.
But what I will do is follow up on Martin's suggestion, which I think is a good one, is double check what the bylaws actually say, and then what I will do is keep you informed, and then implement what is needed.
Okay.
Okay.
And actually, from the when the representative of Visit Slow was going around and actually obtaining the signatures from the properties. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Chuck Davidson from Visit Slow,
right.
Had some contact with several of the general managers of,
okay.
and I think he did ask him that question at the time. So it may be that someone's waiting for the district to be formed mm-hmm. In order to step forward or to be, lack of a better term, appointed or recommended for appointment.
Because I know, yeah, there was some talk that, you know, a manager wouldn't have to spend their time going to the meeting. They could appoint somebody from accounting. Well, maybe as we get further in the process, they may want to appoint back to us and have one of us do it, which would be fine. I'm not sure if Visit Slow would be happy about that, but we can.
And perhaps at that point it's not one of us because we would have a position on the resource council, but I could foresee where we would appoint perhaps one of our Parks and Rec commissioners, so who would really advocate for the city as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
mm-hmm.
from that perspective,
somebody
so
from that would be important.
So yeah. more to be discussed later.
Right. And the other update with Visit Slow is they approved a plan to bring in an outside company to run Saver. It's a company based in San Diego. They're very proven. They actually started the San Diego Food and Wine event, which is now just a huge event. It sells out every year. So it's going to be an interesting structure because the first year we're going to be paying the outside, we meaning Visit Slow, will be paying the outside company. But it's going to evolve that by year five, the outside company is going to own Saver. And we can decide if we want to pay to be a part or not. But it's in the regulations. It will always have to be in San Luis Obispo County. So that's a good thing. And and I talked to the woman, and she's never been to Saver yet. So
she's been to Slow?
She has been to Slow. And actually, so I was trying to use that as a positive and saying, you know, everyone loves having it in Santa Margarita, but you should really think about maybe one day on the coast and our lodge. I told her all about our lodge, and she was really excited to come visit Grover. So hopefully more to come.
Okay.
And I have another committee update. Housing Trust Fund. We had our big retreat where we got a lot of background, and one interesting presentation we had was about not just affordable housing, but workforce housing, and how it's really lacking in Slow to the point where they're losing trained workers. And I spoke to some of the individuals afterwards, and they may want to meet with us about trying to develop some workforce housing here, it won't have government restrictions on it. It's just built in such a way, for example, on smaller plots of land, so it's called affordable by design. It's just not going to be that expensive, and a workforce would want to be there. And I was telling about our broadband network and how it'd be great because some of the tech workers could work from home a couple days a week and maybe commute up there or not. And so they're very interested, and they want to talk more about it. And they're having a workforce housing presentation with EVC because the businesses are really dying for this housing, and it's just not there. So hopefully more to come on that, and I think that's all I had.
Okay, and yeah, just to add on your discussion about workforce housing, I did attend a Slow Chamber of Commerce event on workforce. They had a workforce housing summit, and I know the group talked about housing that's affordable by design, mm-hmm. and so my only comment to them was, you need to consider us as a regional county from a standpoint of it's 15 to 20 minutes from Grover to San Luis Obispo. We've got a city that has opportunities, and those builders continue to look elsewhere, and they really need to come down and see if there are opportunities. So more to come on that. Okay. Karen, you have anything?
I did not have any committee meetings. Thank you.
God, I want to give that report.
I know. Well, thanks to Miriam here, who's taken so many of those.
Barbara, you have anything?
Yes, I do. I had my first meeting with CAPSLO last Thursday, which was extremely informative. They are very, very focused in the Head Start program. And I was invited to join the liaison team for the Prado Day Center. And that meeting will be coming up, first meeting will be coming up on the 10th. So I will feel my way through that meeting and see whether that's something I want to keep on with or not. Only organization I know that feeds us before the meeting. Yeah, we have dinner before the meeting, and our next meeting normal schedule is being taken up by a Cuesta College Award to the CEO of CapSlow as a Woman of the Year kind of thing. So we're having a luncheon meeting instead to take its place.
It's all about the food.
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, I have my next RAC meeting.
Very good. Jeff?
So I had an Economic Vitality Committee, Corporation meeting, and one of the presentations was actually by Rochelle Rickard, the city manager for Atascadero. And she kind of outlined a I've been kind of mulling it in my head, and the best way that I've kind of narrated it was kind of a change the conversation that the city of Atascadero had with regards to their approach to economic development or streamlining their own internal processes, where, as she put it, they changed themselves from a regulatory focus, for lack of a better term, to a fully customer-serviced organization, to where if someone came to the counter, it wasn't, here's the regulations, it's, okay, what are you trying to do? Let us figure out how we're going to get you through this process. It did take them a number of years to, and it started out with kind of an upper management decision, division heads, changing our own internal conversations from that perspective, and then kind of, I don't want to say retraining, but kind of having discussions with staff about how to not say, okay, here's what you have to do. Rather than being, here's how I'm going to help you get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. I did ask the question of how much investment or how much they did over a number of years front the costs for that added cooperation from the city, for lack of a better term, because they also reduced a number of their fees. Like they took the sign ordinance fee, and which used to be on the order of $500 for an application, and they said, no one's going to come in, so they saw a proliferation of illegal signs. So they dropped their sign ordinance fee down to $50.
Wow.
And implemented almost a sign development review commission and say, okay, this is what you can do. Why do you need this? To really have the discussion with the business owner to say, okay, you don't quite fit into our current sign ordinance, but here's how staff is going to help you get to what you need to do in order to best market your business. They've indicated it's showing results slowly, but it's just something that was an interesting discussion that she brought forward.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So.
No, I think that's very interesting. So they took some of the downtime during the recession to kind of recalibrate on how they do business and improve that customer service. So.
Right.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you. So for me, Five Cities Fire Authority, the last decision was made was to actually move the date of the date and time of the meeting. So the meetings for this, the authority will now be the third Friday of the month at 10 a.m. So, and going forward, Chief Lieberman is going to bring forward some goals and some priorities, sort of similar to what we did tonight, but also to give I think he's been on the job almost 90 days, close to it, and to give some of his initial observations and to discuss some of the things that the board should look at as far as moving that organization forward. So That will be coming up very shortly here, and I'll make sure I report out to everyone on that. I do have the South San Francisco County Sanitation District meeting. That meeting continues to be very well attended by 15 to 20 folks. And on Wednesday night, one of the things that's going to be discussed, we've already decided to go forward with this management overview, which is the combination of taking a look back, I believe, to 2004 with respect to operations and finance, and have someone come in independently review that and figure out what can be done better moving the organization forward. Part of that is the board made a decision that when the RFPs come back, because the RFP, I believe, is out now, is to have a citizen committee that would look at the RFPs and make a recommendation to the board. So what I'm asking of you all is if there's someone in Grover Beach that you think would be a good person on that board, I want to make sure it's someone who represents the interests of this community and understands that they are working at the direction of the city council. So I will keep you informed on how we go forward. And the reason I'm saying it is I'm sure you can imagine there were several people who had volunteered to be part of this, some who actually even made a statement as to an individual board member had mentioned several names and just appoint them. And I said it's going to be a fair process and people can put their name into the application pool.
Yeah, and you need people who have diverse opinions and coming from different backgrounds.
So it will be publicized then that it's open?
Yes. Yes. We want to make sure that everyone knows, but I would say, you know, I'm looking for your feedback and your input on this. Okay?
Well, do we, from that perspective, do we do our citizen committee? The process that we use for Parks and Rec or planning commissioners, I mean, go to that formal of a process? Would that be something to consider?
Well, that's certainly something we'll have a conversation on about Wednesday, what that process looks like.
Okay.
Yeah, because I'm not prepared to discuss names or people, but the process, really, on Wednesday. So, okay. Don't have a Council of Governments meeting, and there is a RTA board meeting on Wednesday morning. I'll report back to you. And then I'm going to let Bob give you an update on the Beachfront Lodge. So we'll hold on to that until we get the city manager reports. Are there any council communications?
Oh, you know what? Sorry, I forgot one last thing from my committees as I looked through my notes. I met yesterday with Todd Fisher of the Hollywood Motion Picture Experience. I think they had an article about him in the paper. And he's starting production of his movie. He's built a huge movie studio up in Creston.
Really?
And I think I talked about him before, but he's Debbie Fisher's son, or Debbie Reynolds' son, and Carrie Fisher's brother. He's built a huge movie studio in Creston. He can fully produce a movie up there. You think you're going out in the middle of nowhere, and then you hit a movie studio. He had an open house yesterday, met with him toward the studio, really been pushing Grover Beach with him, and he's going to come down and meet with Bob and I and maybe the chief, hopefully, if he's free in the next couple weeks, because he made no bones about the fact he wants to film in cities and work with cities that want to work with him. And us being small, we have not as much red tape as some other cities. So they're starting production on this horse movie in the next month, and I'm really pushing for a horse on the beach scene.
All right, you guys. No red tape. No red tape. Improving efficiency in the city.
How about an editing studio in our industrial
section
with a broadband focus?
Any other communications? No?
I have a communication. I heard the Exploration Station opened back up on March 1st.
That's what I had heard.
I heard it on the news.
Yeah, and I want to encourage everybody to go. Keep it.
Let's request a tour.
Yes. All right. I'm there all the time, but I mean, I used to be. But I wouldn't mind a tour.
Absolutely. So we'll have to figure out that not everyone at one time, because then we get into some of the Brown Act issues. I can see the city attorney over there. So,
We're keeping him awake. Anything to my right?
Just a communication that there is a Five Cities Homeless Coalition golf tournament coming up on this Sunday.
Oh.
Or excuse me, this Saturday.
This Saturday.
It's a 8 o'clock shotgun start down at LeSage at the end of Grand Avenue.
You still need golfers?
Still looking for golfers. I think I've got three confirmed on a five-member team. So I would be looking for two if anyone is in need of creating divots in the larger golf.
I had made a commitment to someone else, but I will jump back on the Grover Beach team, and now we've got four. We just need one more. Okay.
I'm great.
Well, you wouldn't want me, so don't even look in my direction. I can't golf.
That's okay. My wife is not an avid golfer either, and she played a couple years ago. So, and she used a hand wedge for 90% of her shots.
It's not about the competition; it's about the camaraderie.
Exactly. Right.
Can you drive a cart?
I can drive a cart.
See, there you go. We could talk about that offline.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think the only thing that I have is there is a group that has approached me, and they I had brought this up previously, where they wanted to do an event called the Grover Beach Walk and Roll, and it's called Walk and Roll because, you know, what they'll do is start it. I think they're talking about starting at Julia's Juices at 960 Grand at 9 a.m. and then walking to the Beach Block, which is the businesses down between, I guess I want to say 4th and the beach. And so you can walk, you can skate, you can use strollers, but no skateboards. And they've asked me to be part of this. So this is something that will be done monthly. It's really an opportunity to join as a community, and hopefully we can get folks to come out and walk the corridor and frequent some of the businesses. I understand that some of the businesses will have some discounts and some other sales for folks who come out and walk the downtown core or the Grand Avenue corridor in Grover Beach. So that is scheduled for Saturday, March 14th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Can the camera zoom in? No, it's going to do that. Anyway, I will pass this on to the city clerk, and she can make copies and get it to everyone. And I believe there are numerous businesses that have that are participating: Grover Grind, KGB Screen Printing, Shell Beach Floral, Station Grill. Looks like one of the custom sign companies, Julia's Juices, Ribline, BJ's TV Rentals, and I believe they are looking for either a city booth or something that people can come up and say what's going on, what's happening in the city of Grover Beach.
So can we put it on the city Facebook page or somebody's Facebook
page? I'm sure the... Yep, I heard the city manager say yes. Okay. So, if no one else has any communication, city manager.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you've already alluded to a report on the lodge. Before I get into that, I just wanted to let you know that I'll be meeting with the managers of Arroyo Grande and Pismo Beach, as well as the general manager from OCSD. This is an annual meeting that we attend relative to Zone 3. And usually what takes place is that they're reviewing the Zone 3 budget with us and indicating where they are in terms of their capital improvement program. So that'll be happening on Wednesday. As I already indicated, relative to the lodge, there'll be a joint authority meeting on Thursday at 9 a.m., and as your representatives, both John and Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem will be attending that meeting. Essentially, there are a couple of items that are important to discuss. Those include, as I've already alluded to, is a discussion regarding the actual size of the conference center. The conference center has been reviewed by Kaiser Marston at a couple of different times, 1998, and again in 2005. And both of those times, they had indicated that from a market standpoint, the conference center should be in the neighborhood of 4,000 square feet. It was actually the council that moved it to 11,000 square feet a few years ago as we went through the entitlement process. At my request, Kaiser Marston has provided a final update because before we got to a point of construction, we wanted to take a look at the marketability of the facility. And their review indicates that while there's been some growth in the market, not a whole lot has changed in terms of potential demand for a conference center at 2005, and they're still indicating that it should be somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 square feet of meeting space. That'll be an item for discussion. Ultimately, it's a decision that comes back to the council, though, because it's your decision about the 11,000 square feet, and then we just need to work out those details both with the JA, so we'll begin bridging some of that discussion on Thursday and Pacifica. The other item that has come up is, and this is in part through the grant process, we've had the consultant working with the city and Pacifica in terms of looking at various aspects of the operation of the hotel. The hotel has to be successful, obviously, in order to produce jobs, and that's what the grant is related to. But there has been a suggestion that actually branding the hotel for registration purposes might improve the viability of the hotel in terms of looking at a high-end four-star resort type of branding. And it wouldn't be anything that you would see on the building per se, but it would be something that would be used in marketing, and we'll also be discussing that issue with the JA, as well as a couple of other things we're hoping to make progress on, including the processing of the application of the dump station application with the city of Pismo Beach. So that's by way of a status update, unless there's something else or questions that you might have.
Yeah, and let me just make sure we're all clear with respect to this lodge and conference center project. It's entitled with right. The conference center at the 11,000 square feet. There has been this discussion about going after this federal grant, and so this grant has some requirements and some things that have been asking questions that, for example, the branding of the facilities. When we put together the JA many years ago, the state said we don't allow maybe not so much branding, but the signage. So, like, they would not allow a Marriott and have the Marriott pasted all over the building in State Park because they want it to be low scale and low visibility. And so from a registration standpoint, from this grant, they're saying that that would improve the
marketability,
because I guess you would go through a Marriott right. system, but you could be Marriott signature. So that's something that the JA has to discuss, and that means talking to our state partners. With respect to the conference center size, I think Bob was accurate that the previous councils have all said we want this to be a larger center, and quite honestly, the report that came back is not a whole lot different than before. I know it pointed out that maybe there have been some changes in that. The Madonna, the Expo Center, now serves food, and there are some competitors out there, but it really speaks to the issue of this federal grant that we're talking about, $2.3 million that we're going to try and use for public improvements. There is a provision or a requirement that says that
that it cannot, the project cannot be speculative, which I have some, all development speculative, if you ask me, and I think I shared that with our consultant. So what it means is, even though we're not going to, we're not proposing to use the $2.3 million from this grant, should we accept it and should we be awarded it, it could not be used for the conference center, but the fact that the conference center is there and larger than this study says, the consultants are saying it I don't know if it jeopardizes, but it certainly lowers.
Complicates it.
It kind of complicates it. So what it has brought up is it better to phase the project? Is it better to do the hotel first and then, because we had talked about this before, do the hotel first, have that as a nice outdoor patio area, and then come in a year or so and do the conference center. That way we would have a better idea of how things are functioning. So it's not a matter of reduce the size of it. It's now really a matter of, do you talk about the timing? And that's a discussion we have to have with the JA and Pacifica Host Hotels. So those are the two big issues.
If you build it, they will come.
Like that answer. Like that. I think, yes. So we'll have a lot more discussion, but it there has been some progress, and I know that it's getting Pacifica to kind of sharpen their pencil and clearly define it, that if it's a 3- or 4-star hotel and a few other things like that. So there are some silver linings in that federal grant cloud. Anyway, more to come. Jeff, did you?
Well done.
Good? Okay. All right, Martin, do you have anything?
Other than it was snowing in Huntington Beach and today,
was it
nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Not just hailstorm, but snow.
Hail and snow. There was snow on the beach. Kids were playing.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a memorable day. They'll always remember that. All right, we have no closed session items tonight, and so with that, we are adjourned.
Yay.